This is CliffCentral.com.
A beautiful day to you all, and a warm welcome to this week's edition of The Open Book. I must absolutely say that it has been a great week for South African gospel music with a fellow friend and colleague of mine. His name is Khayyam Tetwa, who was an Idols winner a few years ago. So what happened is that he actually filled up a 5,000-seater venue in his hometown, Durban, as he shot a groundbreaking DVD for his upcoming release called Uprising. Now, I wasn't there, but judging from his Instagram pics, one will be absolutely amazed at just how awesome that entire thing looked and sounded as well, you know, from those 15-second clips that one can post on Instagram. It was quality, and I must say it was also quantity. It's probably the biggest stage that I've ever seen a DVD recorded on, especially a gospel one. So yeah, well done to you, Khaya. As a matter of fact, you know what, in my opinion, it was probably even better than Fill Up the Dome. Because this was groundbreaking stuff. Now, another fellow musician who goes by the name of Neville D, he wrote the following on Instagram. He said, "My brother Khaya has set a new standard for South African music." And then Neville goes on to say that, "Please note, I did not say gospel music, but music." Now, Neville D said all of this without actually knowing that a few days later, he would be getting a Grammy nomination for a song that he wrote, which was recorded by Israel Houghton and Yolanda Adams, really just kind of setting a new standard for not only South African gospel music, but for South African music. It's kind of like the first time that a South African songwriter, has actually been nominated for a Grammy. So, from all of us here on The Open Book, Cliff Central, well done to both of you gents, and yeah, to many, many more. And obviously, may you also actually go on to win. Duncan, can we give them just a round of applause for their wonderful achievements? There we go. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? Well done to you, gents. Anyway, so here we go. Well, what have I been up to over the past week or so? I've been pretty busy. Didn't get a Grammy nomination, but it's been a good week nonetheless. Apart from the four Carols by Candlelight shows that I did all in 1 week in different cities, I also sang carols and gave Christmas messages at my church on Sunday. And I must say, it was pretty hard to find Christmas carols that speak only about Jesus. As a matter of fact, you know, if you actually go and you look at an album, let's say Michael Bublé, the only Christmas carol that it has on there that actually speaks about Jesus and his birth is probably Silent Night. That's about the only one. Everything else speaks about reindeers and Santa Claus, Christmas trees. It speaks about snow, which in South Africa, especially Johannesburg, we know absolutely nothing about. So it was really, really hard, you know, kind of getting up on that stage and trying to find content and Christmas carols that, you know, for an entire hour that speaks about the birth of Christ. And you know what? And I would have absolutely loved to have sung, you know, things like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and so on and so forth. But I wasn't about to go to the, you know, to my elders to ask that question if I could actually do that. But on The Open Book, we ask these questions. As much as this is a Christian podcast, in The Open Book, we ask these questions, and obviously many more when it comes to Christmas, because that is what we do. We ask and we answer all those questions that we are too afraid to ask at church. And so today, our topic is the truth about Christmas. My guests today on The Open Book are Francisco Fumarola from the South African Pagan Council, who's going to be joining us on the line just to give us the facts about the origins of Christmas. And also joining me in studio, I've got Pastor Adram Sunny, who'll then give us the truth about Christmas, about all the stuff that we know exactly where Christmas came from. And then throughout all of this, now wait for it, throughout all of this, Ernest Smith is going to give a rendition of his favorite Christmas carols and also chat to us about how he celebrates Christmas. All of this is going to be done in 1 hour. So don't go anywhere. Join us right here on The Open Book. Our subject is the truth about Christmas on Cliff Central.
The Open Book on CliffCentral.com.
Francisco Fumarola, I hope I said that right, is from the South African Pagan Council. Really awesome to have him join us today here in the Open Book. Our topic is the truth about Christmas. So I thought, you know, what better way to speak to someone who is actually from the South African Pagan Council. So Francisco, welcome to the Open Book.
Thank you for having me, Loiso.
Yeah. Got a few questions for you, which I'm sure that, you know, some of my Christian brothers wouldn't be able to answer. You know, this is what you study, this is what you live. So we're going to kind of get it straight from the horse's mouth. There's a belief that Christmas was originally a pagan festival. Is this true, and how is this?
I would be careful actually to just call Christmas a pagan festival. It's actually not as clear as some people do. It's actually more of a modern myth that Christmas is entirely a pagan festival. There's actually a lot of debate about this idea. For instance, okay, the Bible doesn't mention when Jesus was born.
Yeah, that's right.
And it seems that early Christians didn't really care that much about Jesus' birthday, because Christmas only, the date of 25th was only chosen relatively late. In the 4th century, around the year 336, the first mention of Christmas. And, well, then we have a lot of debate about this, but we do definitely know that the pagan cultures of both southern Europe and northern Europe practiced midwinter festivals around this time. So in the south, we had, in the Roman customs, we had Saturnalia around this time, which took place for 7 days from the 17th of December to the 24th. And in the northern Europe, we had Yule, the festival of Yule, which was practiced among the Germanic tribes. So yes, we definitely have parallels, because, of course, around the winter solstice, we have the longest, darkest night in the northern hemisphere.
Yeah.
And then gradually after this solstice, the sun, we can say the sun becomes stronger, the days gradually become longer again. So it's a festival of light. So it actually matches quite well with the Christian symbology as well.
So why do you think, why do you think Christians then took that specific day and that specific time and over this, you know, over the specific festivities to have Christmas?
We also have the date of the 25th of December, but it was also actually chosen relatively lately by the Emperor Aurelian. The date of 25th December was said to be the birthday of the unconquerable sun, Sol Invictus. And some people associate Sol Invictus with the god Mithra. And well, now there's a lot of speculation that the Christians chose this date sort of to convert the pagans. But we should be aware there's a lot of debate about this, because some people say that there were actually Christian traditions, which also goes way back, but that it might have actually been this clear to actually just say the Christians just took this holiday. Because there was this idea of, it goes back to Jewish ideas that the prophet is born on the same day he dies. And they had the date of Jesus' death around the vernal equinox, the spring equinox, and was also in Jewish tradition as the day of creation.
Yeah.
So they gave the day of 25 March, and then they started this tradition of the Annunciation, the day Jesus was conceived, and then exactly 9 months from the 25th of March is the 25th of December. So we do have a lot of debate about whether it was actually an established Christian tradition, or whether they simply just used a pagan date. But it's actually a debatable idea.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, when I was doing just some research on this, just over the past 2 to 3 days, I actually also found out that, you know, a lot of the Roman leaders of the time, what they used to do is that in order to convert people, they used to try and find what they were celebrating, and then to try and find a Christian angle to it, so that they're not, you know, so that people could identify with Christianity. So, absolutely agree, you know, with you on that. My second question is, there are also some pagan beliefs, you know, around Christmas icons, you know, such as the Christmas tree, the mistletoe, and the holly and the ivy. What are these?
Yes, definitely. Well, as I said, we can't really say that Christmas is simply a pagan feast day.
Okay.
But yes, we do have some certain similarities between customs. But yes, we should also be careful, because some customs we celebrate today are actually, well, they seem pagan on the surface, they're actually relatively quite modern. I'll get into it in a bit. So we do have definitely established that Saturnalia is older. We do have it in classical writers. We have sources for it, like Macrobius, for instance. He wrote a book on Saturnalia. And the oldest reference we have for Yule is actually an indigenous Germanic month names. And Yule was also definitely associated with pagan figures like Odin, who the chief Germanic god. He's better known today by his Norse name Odin, but he has some older Germanic counterparts as well. And he had names like Yulner, the Yule figure, or Yule father, the Yule father. And I'll get a bit back to him as well when we discuss Santa Claus.
Yeah.
But in terms of the evergreens, it was definitely used in Roman times as well for the Saturnalia, because they actually had this custom of exchanging gifts as well. And some of these gifts were strenae. Laurel boughs or evergreen boughs, they exchanged among each other. And of course, the evergreens are the symbol of life through the winter, through the winter solstice. Saturnalia and Yule were also both festivals of fire and light, because fire represented the sun and represented life through the darkest time of the year.
Mm. That's amazing. So, I mean, like, you obviously being from the pagan, you know, pagan council and having a different belief, what is your feeling on, you know, like on Christians using Christmas? Using these decorations and all these things that pagans use to celebrate Christmas?
As I said, actually, it's not, you can't really say it's exclusive to just the pagans, because it's, let me get...
And I know you've been saying that quite a few times, but I thought, you know, just to ask you, you know, because of your belief.
But it seems to sort of be more a problem for some conservative enclaves of Christianity, whereas a problem with seeing paganism in their religion and seeing it as idol worship and things like that. I think I actually think no one can have a copyright on the kind of symbols used at this year. I have no problem with Christians using it. It actually makes sense in the context of Christianity as well, the whole new life and life through the winter kind of thing, and the rebirth of light and the triumph of light over darkness. It's actually quite universal. You can apply it to any religion.
No, absolutely. No, thank you so much, man, Francisco, for just taking the time to speak to us. You know, speak to us today. Hope you have a wonderful festive season as you celebrate, you know, this time of the year.
Okay, thank you to you as well.
Okay, yeah. Francisco Fumarola from the South African Pagan Council, just giving us some facts about Christmas and about the origins of Christmas. But we do obviously, you know, celebrate Christmas for the birth of Jesus, whenever it is that Jesus was born. So in studio, I've got Pastor Edram Sani, who's going to give us the truth about about Christmas. Pastor Ed, warm welcome to you.
Great. Morning, Louisa, and morning to everyone that's listening. It's great to be here with you guys.
Yes, in such a few days' time, and you mentioned to come through.
Thank you.
And I know how busy you guys are.
Well, the word says be prepared in season and out of season.
So. Absolutely. But it happens to be season,
that's
so
right.
You chose the right
season.
So at least it was not a test, you know, to your faith when we asked you to come on. Now, Pastor Ted, I mean, like, with all the negative connotations that link the origins of Christmas to all these other religions, you know, obviously before I thought it was just paganism, but Francisco told me that it's with everything.
Yeah.
For instance, the you know, the Jewish religion, they celebrate Hanukkah around this time, which is the festival of lights. So I can see how all those lights, you know, come into being. But obviously, you know, with the other links as well, which are probably not as positive.
Yes.
You know, according to Christians. Should we be celebrating Christmas?
Well, I think my short answer to that is yes. And I think Francisco said it as well in his little, wrap-up that he did try towards the end of your question there, Tim. I can't see a reason why not. You know, just because the date was chosen, because the season was chosen, we're linked to something that the pagans were celebrating. I can't see why we as the church, the universal church, can't take that time to celebrate the birth of our Lord and our Savior. You know, the whole idea of new life, of Christ coming to this earth. You know, I'm reminded of that scripture that says the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And so it links back to the light, you know, invading darkness, light pushing back the darkness. And whether we chose the 25th of December or the 6th of June or somewhere else in the year, the calendar, I think there was a group of people that decided, hey, you know, we're based here in the north, you know, Northern Europe. This is kind of when our seasons change and how things happen. So why not use the time of year to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior? And I think, you know, it just happened to align with some of the pagan festivals that were happening at that time. I think if we had to become very picky as to what others are celebrating around this time, we probably won't get a chance to celebrate anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
That might be the reality. And I think I can't see why also, as Christ followers, we can't redeem certain things, to bring that light into the darkness, to bring the true message and the true meaning of Christmas.
What is the meaning of Christmas?
That's a good question. Yeah. What is the true meaning of Christmas? For me, it's. I think it's wrapped up in a couple of words. And the first word that I want to share is it's bringing hope. When you look at the Christmas story, the original story, if I could call it that.
Yes.
You know, so over 2,000 years ago, the people of Israel were in an absolute turmoil. There was this want for a Messiah. There was this need for deliverance, for redemption from just many, many years of oppression from different areas, mainly the Roman. There were all the others that came and would always attack the children of Israel, take them into captivity or hold them, as exiles. And there was this need for hope. Hope for deliverance, hope for redemption, hope for salvation. And who would have thought that hope would have come through the person of Christ, born in a manger in a smelly, dingy place reserved for animals. And so for me, hope is a big one. Peace is the other word, I guess, I would use. The true meaning, the Bible says that he would come and that he would usher in peace, firstly between man and God, because of the separation between man and God and, some may call it sin. And then, the reconciliation between man and man. Christ came to usher that in. Jesus was born into one of the most diverse times recorded in history. You just look just surrounding his birth. There are people from all around that area, the known world at the time.
Yeah.
And yet they all come together at that time. There's wise men from the east. There's the shepherds tending their flock. Before he's 2 years old, they have to escape to Egypt. So for me, Christmas has that meaning of hope, of peace, of joy. That's where the festive, I want to be festive this season. I want to celebrate the birth of our Lord. I want to celebrate that hope. I want to celebrate that peace, the joy that he brings. And so I think for me, those three words characterize the meaning of Christmas for me.
Yeah. Well, we know the book of Isaiah, when it speaks about our Lord, it says in the one part where it says, "For unto us the child is born," and it calls him the Prince of Peace.
That's right.
But it's funny because I've always thought that, it's about peace in the world, like some of the songs say, some of the Christmas songs say. Yeah. But it was also about peace between us and God.
That's it. Well, it starts there.
And there's no better way.
Yeah.
But why would it's so amazing, how has it been proven that this is God? Because I believe that, as many people believe that Jesus was born, it's like, yes, Jesus did exist, and there's historical facts to that. But how but where we differ is the fact that this was God.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's been centuries and centuries, millennia debate about the humanity and the deity of Christ.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm a firm believer in both. And I think, Christ proved himself that he says, he spoke it. There were witnesses to what he had done and what he had seen. And those witnesses have recorded it through, through all the scripts that we have, these ancient texts that we have today that have been verified, that that people can go, and no one argues that fact. No one argues the fact of those eyewitness accounts. So if I've seen something, let's say I'm driving here this morning, and I see something, and I experience something, and I come and I share it with you, and it's my experience, it's what I've witnessed. I guess in this day and age, today people would grab their cell phones and they'd take a picture. So for example, a lot of my friends don't believe I'm here talking with you today. So I've got to take a selfie with you.
Yes.
And then I would post it on Facebook and everybody would see that and go, hey, look, it was actually with Louisa, so it's legit. In those days, they didn't have that.
No.
But they had recordings. So people would speak about their experience and they would write it down and they would then orally, pass it on from one generation to the next. That's how they got to know. And then when I see the miracles that Jesus performed, from the very first one of turning water into wine, to making the blind to see, to healing people, of a whole range of different things. I get to see the fingerprints of God in what Jesus did. And I think for me, the most beautiful thing about Christ, though, is that here's the one deity, the one religion in all the world. And I have absolute respect for all the other world religions, but it's the one religion where the deity cared for humanity so much that he was willing to come and walk alongside us. Or as John says, came and made his dwelling among us. He came and hung out. He came and became human. for our sake, died on a cross, and then rose again. For me, the resurrection is the greatest proof that he was God incarnate, absolutely. That he came and he walked this earth and then he rose from the dead. Right. And because of that, he said, I've come so that you may have life, life to the full.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, in he did actually say it as well, because I don't think all the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as they call them, you know, I don't think they had a problem so much with what Jesus did, but I think they had a problem with what he said. And as a matter of fact, he actually went to the cross because of the things that he said. You know, it's like, yeah, this man is blaspheming. Okay. So what we don't use a lot these days is blaspheming, calling himself God, because he actually, you know, like he actually said, I remember there's a verse in the book of John 14 verse 9, where he says to Philip, because Philip is like, Philip, one of the disciples, is like, so show us who God is. Show us this God, you know? And he says, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen God, you know? Jesus didn't, you know, that was the whole thing with the relationship, you know, for the fact that it was about him not telling us about God, but about us actually, you know, having an experience with, you know, like with God on earth. It's amazing, you know, like that this God you were saying earlier on would come as a child. Come on, man. I'd never come. If I was God, I'd come with 155,000
angels
and 100
angels, rain rangers, armor bearers,
you know what I mean, a whole lot. Yo, Mr. Ernie. Man,
bro.
Thank you so much for coming through.
No, thanks for having me, man. Nice being here.
I can see you got your guitar here. Not that I didn't ask you to bring it, but I'll act like you just brought it.
I just have to tell a story. Let me just bring it in case.
You celebrate Christmas.
Absolutely.
And 100%. You have, and you've done so since you were a child.
Absolutely.
Why do you celebrate Christmas?
For me, Christmas kind of like is summed up by a simple thing, scripture. For God so loved the world, you know, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think it's God seeing all man fail in his attempts to reach God and to make himself righteous, and God sending his son to give us hope, to give us peace, that through his life we'll be saved, you know. And the day for me is not important. It's the fact that we do celebrate him, and we acknowledge that he came, and we acknowledge that he died, and we acknowledge that he rose from the dead. And these are the things that are important to me. It's not just a feeling that people get, although there is, there seems to be a feeling associated with Christmas, like shopping and whatever else. Especially my wife, you know, something if she's sleeping, I'm gonna lay hands on her. But you know, you know, I think if we're gonna be happy over something, we might as well be happy over the fact that God came and reached out to us and saved us in our humanity and in our plight.
Yeah,
you know, those are things for me are important about Christmas. If we become more sensitized to God, or we know we should always be sensitized to God, but if that particular time helps us to give more focus to it, why not?
Yeah,
you know, yeah.
And you know, people always like, why are people saying you need to give your life to Jesus? Well, the thing is, because he actually first gave
his life, his, for
you know,
us.
Like his life for you.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And yeah, just what a wonderful thing.
It's amazing.
So well, now since you got your guitar with you.
Well, we're doing it now.
We're gonna hear, we're gonna hear from Ernie just doing us a rendition of his, you know, of a Christmas carol. I'll join you if you
I need you to join me at some point
because sometimes I just can't help myself.
Come on, join me, brother.
No, you start.
Hey, Jesus came to save. Oh, hey, long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible says, yes, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Come on, sing with me, Buster. Hark now, hear the angels sing. A king was born today, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Here's another verse.
Go.
While shepherds watched their flock by night, they see a bright new shining star.
They see.
They hear a choir sing a song, not a something old from afar.
Now ye say, hark now, hear the angels sing, a king was born today, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels, hark now, hear the angels sing, a king was born today, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Because of Christmas Day. Come on, Luis.
Of Christmas Day.
Come on,
you put some pressure on me there, man.
Listen, guys, I'm looking for someone to help me with Christmas carols and Christmas Day at our church. Are you guys available?
You can ask us live.
That was your audition. Yeah.
I've got some openings. I've got some openings between the 15th and the 27th of December 2016.
Okay.
I was about to say the 28th, the 29th, I'm free.
Wow, that's
no,
cool.
Awesome, man.
Can we book you for 2016 then?
Yes, absolutely. No, we'll do that. Sure. Thank you so much, Ernie, man.
Oh, bless you, man.
But Ernie's still, Ernie's still with us. But isn't it amazing that, like, as we sing these songs, like a certain spirit just comes into the room, which is called joy, which is called peace, because I believe that, like, all these things, they are not what Jesus came to give, but it is who he is. He is the Prince of Peace. He's not the giver of peace, but that, he is peace himself. Don't get me preaching now.
Come on, go preach.
Pastor Ed, some facts. There are some, some facts and some truth that have been told about.
Yeah.
That has been a little bit hard to understand. Because you know why? Because my wife came home and, one time she says, hey, listen, I'm pregnant. And I'll be like, okay, but we haven't been intimate for the past 2 months. She says, no, I'm pregnant of, I've been made pregnant by the Holy Spirit, I don't know, man. It's 2016. Don't know what I'll do. I love God, but what's the Holy Spirit's name? What's his surname? Where does he live? What I mean? What is the significance of Jesus having been born of a virgin?
Man, what I really appreciate and like is that you're using the word significance. Because I think a lot of people don't see that concept. They don't see the significance of the virgin
birth. There must have been a significance.
There was a significance. And I think so many people get caught up on that. So many people get caught up. No, come on. We know the biology. We know how this thing works. If you want to go old school, they talk about the birds and the bees. And people are kind of trying to get their minds around that. But again, for me, the significance of it is the divine nature of it. Just think about it with me for a moment. So here's Joseph and Mary. Let's just think in terms of an earthly existence. There's a guy and a girl. We know what happens. And they then conceive and Jesus is born. And God comes and God says, this is my child. A lot of people kind of look at him a bit more suspiciously. A lot of guys will go, now hold on, you were born of human, kind of plan and human endeavors. Whereas for me, the virgin birth speaks of a divine intervention, a divine interruption, if you like, and divine God coming to earth in the most amazing way. And again, the major difference between the Christ story compared to what was happening around us at the time, there was a lot of other religions. A lot of people don't know this, but a lot of the other world religions at that time would always lay claim to some kind of immaculate conception, some kind of divine intervention. But it was always God coming and, I'll take one of the Southeast and I won't mention the religion, but one of them, a child is born to, again, earthly parents, male and female. But they would look at that and they would say, God has now come and kind of, born into this person, or he's come into this person. Whereas with Christ,
so it was from right in the beginning.
It was from the conception, from the moment of conception. In that moment, Mary walks into Elizabeth's house and, John on the inside of her just leaps and she leaps and she's filled with the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, revelation, there was a prophetic word. Elizabeth had not known the story and she says, you are carrying the child of God. The Son of God dwells in you. And I love that song that we sing at this time as well. Some places sing it. Mary, did you know that the child that you're carrying is God himself. You know, and for me, that's the part. And I think that's the significance, that had he just been born to an earthly set of parents, the divine, the power just wouldn't be the same. Whereas being born, immaculate conception of virgin birth, number one, it sets him apart straight away.
Wow.
Number two, it really is his name, Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah.
And straight away, when people hear that. And notice again, nowhere in the scriptures do people say, oh, you know, there was no room for him, or that, you know, Herod wanted to take him out. But he never questioned that. They never questioned the virgin birth.
No, absolutely. I mean, for the fact that Herod was like, who was not a, you know, who was not a believer.
Yeah.
Herod was like, okay, cool. Well, I want to see this king.
Yeah.
And I love all these fascinating things, you know, for the fact that there were these three wise men.
Yeah,
from a place, you know, from just somewhere else, who saw the star and they were like, "We have to see this king."
Yeah.
They weren't. Those three guys probably weren't Jewish at all, but they followed because they knew inside of them, and they were probably from three different places, because there's no way that three kings can be from one place.
Sure.
And they went, you know, to go see this king, and right there and then, you just know that this was the king of the entire, you know, of the entire universe.
And that's why Herod was, you know, he was threatened. There was this thing where Herod thought it was going to be someone coming to take away his rulership of that area. You know, Rome was quite a big, you know, kind of empire at that stage. And so Herod thought that, hey, something's going to happen here on that level. It's going to be a political overthrow. It's going to be a militant overthrow. He just never realized that Christ coming was a lot bigger than just a political, just a militant. It was to actually bring redemption for the world.
Yeah.
And so he felt threatened. So he just made this, you know, this thing of saying, hey, all boys under the age of two. And for us as Africans, I find it so significant that then Christ, you know, they escape to Egypt. The scriptures come and says, the angel comes and says, pick up the child, take his mother, says to Joseph, and go to Egypt.
Yeah.
What
Africa, baby.
Bit. That's it.
That's where it's at.
Yeah.
I was reading, who was it again? One of the American actors, they said, well, you know, if Donald Trump becomes president.
Well, easy.
Who was it?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel Jackson said, just last night, actually, said, well, if Donald Trump becomes president, I'm moving to Africa. This is the place to be, man. Jesus came here as well. Yeah. It's like, you know, when these things start to happen, Joseph said, we're going to go to Africa.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Egypt, you know?
True.
The cradle of humankind. Okay, no, that's a thing for another. That's another open book. But you know what? But I guess because when the three wise men come in, they bow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Three wise men from three different places.
Yeah.
Herod also says, okay, well, where is this king? He says to them, you know, let me know where he is so that I too can go and worship him. And obviously, you know, in inverted commas, he was the king of that time.
Yeah.
But right then when they bowed, you know, to Jesus, they crowned him king of kings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
and they brought gifts.
And they brought gifts.
You know? So, I mean, again, you know, this whole thing about bringing presents and, you know, Ernie was talking about it earlier as well. I think we have commercialized it. I think you're right. It has become, you know, a lot more about buying the right gift for the right person with the right motive and must have the right value.
Sure.
Yeah, that's the one I think you're nervous about.
Pandora. Pandora.
And when you buy this Pandora thing, it doesn't even have the charms.
That's just a string. But it's that gift. And so for me, the question that I love to ask at this time of the year, when I look at the wise men, what am I bringing to him? You know, what gift am I going to bring? And so they brought gold, they brought incense, they brought, you know, myrrh, valuable things, you know, things of great value. But for the child, because for them, that's what they would do. And even today, you know, when you go and visit someone from a different country, you know, we're always taking a gift. Mm. We're always taking something. And we don't want to just take a gift just summer. Mm. We want to take a gift that has meaning. Mm. And one of the questions I love to ask guys, in the midst of all the commercialism, in the midst of all the controversy, you know, talking about, it's fine. I know there's a lot of church people, a lot of people within the church that are saying, if it's based within paganism, then we mustn't celebrate it. And there are churches I know that actually close on Christmas Day. They don't have a service. And I'm going, what a sad reality, because what a great opportunity, because that's the one day. They are those kind of nominal guys that are sitting on the fence going, should I, shouldn't I? And for them, church is that one day. They'll pull in on Christmas Day. They'll pull in and they'll go, hey, here's my box. I'm going to take it.
Our church is so full on Christmas Day. And we have we have a 7,000 seater. Yeah. Yeah. And yet, you know, we have to have an overflow for those who come late. And people go and stay there. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Well, what's so nice is even the smaller churches that on that day, you're guaranteed a crowd. I love it. I love preaching on Christmas Day because you're guaranteed a crowd. And in that crowd, there are going to be some people that are not, you know, just they're not as committed and they want to hear that message. And my challenge, what are you bringing to him? What gift?
Well, you know, I had Pastor, what's his name? Macaulay. Just the other. Josh. How can I forget? Sorry, Josh. I'm just so taken by all of this happening.
Hallelujah.
Here. Praise God. Josh, you know, Josh was here and he said about 2 weeks ago, he said, you know, there is nothing that we can bring to God that it doesn't have. You can't bring him, you know, there's nothing, do you know what I mean? Apart from one thing that God doesn't have, and that's the very thing that he wants, you know, he wants your sin. You know, he wants your sin so that he can give you his righteousness. Yeah. So I think, you know, for anybody this time, at this time of the year, let this be your time to ask for forgiveness. Let this be your time where you take everything that you've done this year and you offer it to him so that he can give you something that is brand new and in season for 2016, you know. But then again, you know, for that as well, make sure that you buy Christmas gifts for for those, you know, like for those who need it, and let that also be a way of you sort of ministering to others, you know.
Show Pandora.
Mr. Erne, what did Christmas, you know, what memories do you have of Christmas as a child, and what did it mean to you?
Yeah, amazingly so, you know, growing up in Wentworth, my mother and my father were really big on Christmas.
Yeah.
And, you know, they weren't really born again at the time.
Yeah.
So for us, it was really just about more about family getting together. And it was really about the as a kid, you know, it was about the decorations and the Christmas tree and the fact that we were away from school. We had time to play with our friends in the street. Mm-hmm. And but I think when I think of Christmas, it's always a heartwarming time of really just family and us coming together and focusing on one thing. And that's the, you know, the fact that Jesus came, and it was always the Christmas carols, and it's like, you know, it's like everyone tells South Africa now to just be careful, hold on to your seats, because Boney M is coming.
Oh yeah, oh no, Boney M was there
already.
Yeah, Boney M is here.
Boney M was on some radio, not here I come.
here I come.
It's like, did you at least take a shower, change your clothes before you got? Just like no, I came the same way that I left.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So it was a time of Boney M, and I think Christmas Day was a time of mainly really for me just synonymous with family, getting together, having fun.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think sometimes we get a lot religious and we get a bit too religious. You know, I think, you know, it's important to acknowledge that Jesus came and gave us the spirit of reconciliation, which is really family and friends getting together.
Yeah.
And it also becomes like almost kind of like by default a time where people that maybe hadn't got together in the year that had issues and would clear up those issues. Hey, it's Christmas, let's forget it, you know, that kind of thing. And I don't think we should downrate or underrate those kind of experiences, because, you know, God is one of the only people in the world that does so much good and sometimes doesn't mind not taking the credit for it, you know, and because his real objective is really us, and it's really about us being whole, and us being whole as a family, as a people. So, you know, that's what Christmas was for me. It was about family, it was about friends, it was about fun. And now that I've grown up, what I'm trying to instill in my girls is really that Christmas is about Jesus, because it seems to be about everything else right now, you know, on TV, you know, the Xmas kind of thing, where it's X's, you know, just
trying
like
to
the name anonymous kind of thing. And no, it's not Xmas, it's Jesus, it's Christmas.
It's Christ.
Know,
it's Christ Mass.
You know what I'm saying? It's Christ Mass, yeah. Yeah, and I think it's important for us to not only restore that, but to maintain that, uphold that, and taking it into the new millennia or the new, as we walk in the journey of life, is to not let that message die, you know. We got to...
And you know what? The thing is, all of these things start with the family.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Absolutely. And for me, it's like, because I'm just as, you know, I'm just as open-minded, I think, as anybody else out there. To me, it's, you know, whether they can say, okay, cool, we're not going to actually, call it Christmas anymore, whatever it is. On the 25th of December, me and my family are going to celebrate Christmas Day.
Yes,
and I'm not going to join the worn Christmas and say, Christmas, Christmas, Christmas must rise. Christmas must rise.
Christmas must fall.
You know what I mean? Whatever. Because in any case, I mean, like, for as long as there's retail, they'll always be trying to make money out of whatever it is, you know? Even you've just seen like how big Halloween has just become now. There's something called Black Friday, which I don't know what that is about, which is after America's Thanksgiving that we're now starting to celebrate. That's because retail keeps everything, you know, keeps everything going. You don't see a picture of Jesus in the front of Spa Tops. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
You see Father Christmas.
Father Christmas.
Do you know what I mean?
What a beer.
And you know what? Keep it. It's all good and well. You know what? I have a Christmas tree at home, you know, because I think it's nice. You know? But I may be wrong. Pastor Ed, should I have a Christmas tree?
No, I'm just concerned that you know about Tops. That's your question is, should Christian homes have a Christmas tree?
Yeah.
I don't see why not. Again, I think it does go back to the comment you made. It kind of feeds the retail mindset. It does feel the commercialism about it. You know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense because the trees that were used.
Where I bought it though, the guy was a Christian in that.
Okay, that contract. It was set apart. So
set apart.
I mean, again, for me, the very same reasoning that we would use as to why we celebrate the 25th of December, why we celebrate that particular time. I think for me, it's the same thing. It's the same thing as saying, hey, we're setting up a tree. There's going to be gifts around it. You know, what's nice is we've been talking the word family a lot.
Yes.
And so one of the family traditions we do at our home, which is lovely, is every year my wife will kind of look back over the year, reflect on the year that's been, and then make an ornament, a tree ornament that gets hung on the tree that's then significant of something that happened in the life of our kids, of us, and each family member every year. She's been doing that now for the last 20 years. And then our tree is kind of filled. You know, it's so beautiful when you look at the tree and you see all the little memories and you see, my boy excelled at sport there, or our daughter did the mid-mile mile there and she got the medal. And, you know, there's all these little memories. And we wouldn't have had that if there was no Christmas tree to hang that on. I mean, we could have, you know, someone said, oh, but you could have created memories in another way. Yes, we could have. But what we did is we thought, hey, here's something that a lot of the world is doing. The Christmas tree is just a great time to celebrate family, celebrate, you know. And for us, there's deeper meaning because it's celebrating the birth of Christ.
Well, you know, as long as you're not buying down to the Christmas tree.
No. Well, I am to go pick up the presents. So I guess I am buying down.
I guess that's what matters. I was in Jerusalem a few years ago, and I went into this place, and they were like, yeah, this is the stone where Jesus, I don't know, I can't remember what he did it by that stone. Okay. I'm not talking the stone down. Okay, but this is the stone, I think, where Jesus, whatever, or the tree that he cursed, but something like that. And then I'll find these people going there and literally bowing down and praying on that spot, thing that, you know, this is the holy place. So my thing is, man, have Christmas trees, have mistletoes. If you're going to kiss under it, make sure that you're married.
I think for me, you know, you used the word tradition earlier as well. I think we always got to ask ourselves a question. What was that tradition for? What, you know, the mistletoe, the tree, the Santa Claus. I mean, we mentioned it earlier. What was the tradition for that? What was it started for?
And
if you stay kind of true to that, you know, even Halloween, you know, you mentioned it earlier. There's another kind of...
We had a show on Halloween as well.
So you do all of these things, but for me, that's one where I'd say I don't think we need to be doing that.
Yeah, sure.
You know, the reason behind
I
saw it in the States. I experienced it there. It's a wonderful community thing. You know, families are walking around, they're exchanging gifts, you know, sweets, and the kids are getting to meet your neighbors and do all of that. So there's a wonderful kind of spirit in that, I guess.
Yeah.
But again, the meaning behind
the focus
the focus.
I think
and
it's
what
way
people
too deep. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? No, absolutely. Well, Mr. Ernie, should we do another one?
Yeah,
man, this hour is...
Are you doing requests?
Are we doing requests? What you going to request?
I don't know. Maybe
because of another lyrics.
No. No, a good one. Like a Silent Night or something like that.
You know Silent Night?
Yeah?
You know Silent
Night? Yeah, I know Silent Night.
All right, well, you go.
Do you know the first verse? Let's do it in C.
Okay.
Silent silent night. Holy night.
Holy night.
See, all is calm.
All is calm. All is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep. Amen.
It makes daytime amen. Feel like my time. Oh. And everyone is applauding outside. Thank you so much.
Beautiful.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Awesome, man. Awesome. You've got kids, Pastor?
Just give you a soundtrack while you're talking.
I've got two kids. Teenagers, so it's, quite interesting.
Around this time, this is the time like when my daughter is hearing... is hearing a lot about Jesus. And she's only like 2 years and 6 months.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to find the best way... to teach my child about Jesus as a child, so that she can follow that example. What lessons can we take in order to obviously minister to our children at this time?
Oh man, that's a big question. It's a great question, but it's a big question. I think for me, it's just to show them the person of Christ.
Yeah.
And I always kind of break that down into three things. It's come see the person. You talked about experience earlier. You can't encounter Jesus.
Yes.
Come and see the man. I love that there was this woman who meets him at the well. They have that amazing experience, and she runs back into town. And she says to the people, come see the man who told me everything about myself. Come see him. There's not this thing of he's in a box or he's in a stone or he's in a tree somewhere. You come see him. Come experience him. Come and see lives touched by him. And then come hear the stories. I mean, for me, I'm a big fan of stories. And especially children at this time of the year, they love to hear stories. Tell them stories. Tell them biblical stories.
Beautiful.
And then tell them stories from history. Tell them stories of how... Christ impacted your life, impacted people around you. The moment they start seeing I love that phrase, the fingerprints of Christ in people's lives, they get to see him. They want to know, who is this guy? And I think that the more they see him as a real man who loved people, and, Jesus said himself, let the children come to me. Yeah. For such is the kingdom of heaven, and let them hear those kind of stories, let them see that kind of stuff. I think would be beautiful.
And I love it because you likened a lot, you likened a lot of the kingdom of God to children. It's that innocence, it's that easy of hearing, easy to follow when you say no to a child. With us, like, you're not allowed to do this. Like, okay, cool, great stuff, I hear you, but let me go and think about it. Before I do that. You earn, you've got kids now. You're not a little one anymore.
Sure, two girls, pray for me. You got one. I'll pray for you, you pray for me. I think, I've kind of got into a custom and maybe created a tradition around before they sleep, just to tell them Bible stories and to let them know who God is. And they know, they tell you. My daughters tell me, Dad, I'm afraid of nothing. Even when they're writing tests, sometimes, my daughter's nervous. And we teach her how to depend on God and just to show Christ too. And one of the things Jesus called us to do, he called us to be witnesses. We take that word lightly. We witness. What does a witness do? A witness actually gives an account of what they've seen, what they've heard, what they've experienced. And I think for us, it's like we have witnessed God's activities in our lives and his grace, and they see us go through these things, and they look at what's the measure of our resolve and how do we handle stress, how we handle situations. And I'm able to be a witness to them and to show them that, you see, Dad, we done this, and Dad prayed, and this is what happened. And we tell them the truth about Christ. And I was kind of conflicted a few weeks ago because my daughter was talking, they were doing a end of the year play, and they were doing Santa Claus, and I was teasing them. I said, Santa Claus is up punk. My daughter's like, no, dad. No. You know, so, and
it's like telling your child that the imaginary friend doesn't exist.
You know what I mean? Yeah, there's no Father Christmas. So, you know, I had to just kind of like search my heart and in terms of what's reality. Mm. And also, you know, what I don't want to take away from a child.
Absolutely. And let a child be a child.
You let a child be a child, but, and I also want to do, you know, for long, my daughters know there's no tooth fairy. You know, I'm like, I'm the tooth fairy. And because it's important for them also not to take away that they believe in something that's unseen. Because if you tell them all these unseen things, too much about that, then they're like, well, I can't see God, so how come he's real? Yeah. You know, so we got to be careful what we're doing, you know. So I think it's important just to witness to them who what Christmas is about, what Jesus done, the story. Mm-hmm. Because it's a story that really lives in their hearts and will guide them even as they're older. They'll remember the story and the reason why he came. So for me, that's really important. We celebrate all the other things. They love shopping. We try to do as much as we can. But we always teach them the reason while we're doing it, you know. And like you said,
it's because daddy worked, made money.
Daddy was, you know what I mean?
And you'd have to go and work again to make more money.
You know what I mean? Miracle right there.
Yeah. But I think it's important just for them to understand who Jesus is, why he came, that he did come, and the rest, you know, you kind of like just, you got to take it as it comes. There's no one way to raise a child, you know what I mean? Because every child is different. And I believe you need God really to raise children. And that's the beauty of it, you know, is having God in it, especially during this time.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what, man? At the end of the day, all of this points back to Jesus.
Absolutely.
Without him, there would be no, you know, for us, there would absolutely be no now. There would absolutely be no Christmas.
Yeah.
It'll be just another hot day in the sun, in the African sun, or another cold day,
money.
You know, in the
in Africa,
in the snow. So, so Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartedly as to the Lord and not to men. So no matter, you know, no matter what situation that you find yourself in over this Christmas time, just whatever you do from that, you know, just do it as unto the, you know, unto the Lord.
Yeah. I love what Pastor Ed said. I don't want to cut you off about, you know, well, what are you bringing?
Yeah.
Well, what's your gift to him? You know, I was talking to my friend about the scripture. I don't want to go too long about, you know, your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. And we always used to think it's your gift. You know, you play, it'll take you all over the world. Yeah. And that's true. Yeah. But really, in the old days, people brought a gift. Mm. And because Luiso came with a gift to me and I'm a king, he would get audience with me, have to present the gift himself. Mm. You know, so the gift of your life really does bring you before God and gives you access to his grace. So that's just something, my parting words, you know, is what are you bringing to him?
Yeah. Pastor Ed, your parting words?
Man, I just think, let's keep just the message of Christmas, the significance of it, the hope of it, you know, just trying to see what the world is trying to say, but what the scriptures tell us about Christmas.
Yeah.
And keep that hope, keep that peace, keep that joy, keep it alive.
Absolutely.
Come on,
are we going to end up with a song?
Yeah. We all sing, Pastor. Let's sing this one.
Well, first
we want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us on this special Christmas show right here on Cliff Central, The Open Book. We love you all, and may you be blessed around this time, and may even have a prosperous 2016 coming up. We'll see you on the next show next week. It's all about relationships, because I know that some of you are going to be finding some new love over this time. So let's teach you how to do it. Merry Christmas right here on The Open Central. Bottom
of my heart.
Yeah.
We want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Da-da-da. Thank you so much, Ernest Smith, Pastor Ed, and Francisco, who joined us earlier on. We out.
The Open Book on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.